We're going to take a break this morning from our journey through the book of Romans. There's sort of a natural break in the book after chapter 8, and we thought it'd be a good idea to inject something else for a little while. So, you know, we had this big argument about what we ought to do, and because Paul's bigger than Clifton or I, he won.
Yes.
So now I guess we're going to have to talk about resolving conflict. That's a joke, of course. but no, we thought this would be a very timely topic, because if you haven't noticed, navigating conflict well is difficult. People don't do it real well. Our culture as a whole isn't doing well. And in itself, conflict is not necessarily a bad thing. Here's what Google AI tells you, which is now the new way we find out information. It says conflict is a state of opposition, disagreement, or struggle between people, groups, ideas, or even oneself, within oneself, arising from incompatible goals, interests, values, or needs. It can manifest itself in fighting or battles, including military conflict. I can't read that with that light in my eye. In military conflict, or as more subtle forms of dispute, argument, and inner mental struggle. Common causes include miscommunication, differing values, competition for resources, and power struggles. Well, with a definition that long and including all those things, there ought to be conflict everywhere. And there is, as a matter of fact. And like I said, in itself, it's not necessarily bad. If you navigate it well, lots of good things can come from it. You get increased understanding. If you come into this with two competing viewpoints, you know, life is, we're sort of like 400 farmers in a field driving around. We've all got different goals, and sooner or later, you're going to intersect. And so you come out, if you do this well, you understand the other person's point of view better, you sort of grow an interpersonal connection, and you could learn some practical things that could make your life better. There's all kinds of constructive improvements for ourselves and society. You know, this is how we advance. We have different ideas on how things should happen. You work through it and you get to a better spot. And it's key, I think, in avoiding future conflict. When you work out something, you have fewer things to work out in the future. So lots of good things can come from handling it well. If you don't handle it well, it's not good. You get separation at a minimum, which leads to isolation if it's taken to the more extreme, can lead to hatred, violence, and death. In its ultimate form, war comes out. And it seems, of course, that we as a culture aren't great at navigating this. And why? Well, you know, social media is always a convenient whipping boy, but I think it actually has hampered our ability to work through stuff. You know, it's just so easy when you're in the online world to just put your thing out there, and you really don't know, you can't gauge how that's going to affect people. You know, you have all those social clues that you have when you're looking at somebody and you watch their face and you go, oh, well, maybe I should temper that. And it's just really easy to, you know, to put your stuff out there, and it takes time to read feedback and comments. So, you know, you maybe don't do that as well. And we tend to silo. We've talked, I think there's a lot of talk about this, where you silo in your little world of information, and you don't really trust stuff from outside that. So it makes it easier to be distrustful about things. And with AI, of course, that's only going to get worse. Yeah, you know, I think we all tend to think AI is going to be the same. It'll be an AI, but obviously that's not true, because companies are killing one another to be the person that controls it. And so I think what's going to happen is you're going to have your AI and another person's going to have their AI, and you know, you're going to have to be the battle of the AIs to help us think and deal with our world. But I think there's even a more fundamental issue at the heart of a lot of this. And that is, we no longer have any common source of truth. And we sort of talked about this last week a little bit, but you know, we used to sort of appeal to a higher thing, and you could sort of appeal to, we were a Judeo-Christian culture, and there were sort of morals and things that you could appeal to in an argument that sort of was the arbiter, but now that doesn't exist as much. And it's easier to just hold to your position in a really strict way. So whatever all the reasons are, conflict's hard. Anybody like conflict? Oh, so in a crowd of Minnesota nice. That's not too surprising, is it? I sure don't. I don't like conflict. So how do you react when conflict comes your way? And I think it's different. You know, there's differences in each situation. But in general, I think we tend to fall into one or two categories. One of two categories. And the one is you can either be a fighter or you can be a flighter. You can either try to really avoid conflict. If you're a flighter, you're averse to conflict. And you do a lot in your life to try to make sure you don't end up there. And you may order your whole life that way. It can lead to things like, you know, you don't express your opinion because you think your opinion might be different and you don't want to deal with the results of that. You can avoid controversial subjects or situations. And the problem is you can just get into the habit of giving way to whatever force comes in your life because you don't want to resist it and cause conflict. So you can sort of feel pushed around. And, you know, you find yourself in the back hallways avoiding contact with people so there's no conflict. Now, and that does keep confrontation to a minimum, but it has its downsides. It prevents all those good things we listed from taking place in your life. And you can really avoid forming really deep, meaningful relationships because you're not willing to go into that area and find out what the other person really thinks and why and understand it. And so I think it leads to isolation over time. And if it gets bad, then you're not only isolated, you're resentful. You really wish you could deal with conflict. I can find myself doing this. And especially those people that tend to steamroll you, you just resent them. And you can get a little passive-aggressive. And that can come out in lots of ways that are not good. And then there's the fighters. There are people who don't mind conflict at all. They think it's great. They think it's a great way to clear the air. Let's just mix it up. And in that, they often mean, well, I got to vent my emotions, so I feel better. But they don't avoid contact at all. Actually, they've gotten where they've gotten in life, many of them, in the extreme. They just become a bully, and they've gotten where they are because they steamroll people. And they get their way, and that's the way they tend to live life. And, of course, that's the downside of it. Now, both of these are the downsides to conflict. And either being a fighter or flighter is sort of the two natural responses. We have our flight or fight reflex. So how do we avoid falling into either one of these and dealing with conflict in a good way? Well, in their book, Resolving Everyday Conflict, Ken Sand and Kevin Johnson, they have outlined a third way to go, a third approach to conflict. And it's called this. It's called being a peacemaker, which is great, right? Oh, let's do that. And especially when you throw this verse on there, it's blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now, who wouldn't want that? I mean, I assume if you're here today, at some point, you're trying to get God's blessing. That's why you're here. You're trying to connect with God. And so I think we'd all be like, well, yeah, that's great. Let's do that. Okay? All right, let's pray. Well, it isn't that simple, is it? I mean, it's a great idea. It's not that hard to understand. And we know probably that it's right. It's a good idea. And if this was the key to having all those good effects from conflict come into our lives, well, who wouldn't want that? It's a win-win, especially among believers. You have two people, they want to be blessed by God. This should be easy. But it isn't. So what's the rub? What's the problem? Well, the Apostle James, who was never accused of avoiding an issue, I think he was probably a fighter, not a flighter, he said this. He said, "What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and you don't have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So, he lays the problem squarely in the lap of self-interest. And I think we probably all know he's right. So, and if we're going to have any hope of being able to deal with conflict well, this is really the issue we've got to deal with. And that is, we can't assume when we're in conflict that we're the good guy. That's our natural assumption. And we can't assume, we got to be open to the idea that we might just be trying to get what we want. And we might be willing to do just about anything to get there. Now that's a great thought. Again, we think, I should probably do that. But you know what? That seems to be a thought that for me is easy to forget. Especially when I'm in conflict. And it seems pretty clear that the other person is exactly doing that. That they are doing whatever they can to get what they want. And I've got to do something about it. Or maybe that's not your response. Maybe you're just so busy thinking, how can I get out of this? That you really can't be thinking about anything like that. You won't remember it. So how do we get to be the kind of people who can do this? Who in the midst of conflict can go, oh, you know what? I should ask myself a couple of questions about why I'm in this. Well, I think James gives us the key in the next verse. He says this, you adulterous people. Again, never one to mince words. He says, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now I think often we can read through this and we think, okay, now he's on to a separate point. But I don't think that's the case really. I think this is referring to what came before. I think he's saying that this self-interest arises because we've given our heart to the things of the world rather than the things of God. And when we're pursuing the things of the world, it's impossible for us to remember that God's interests are also at stake. And I have to admit that when conflict is explosive for me, it's because I think I'm not getting something that either I think I deserve or I want. And if I think about it a little further, it's, I think, always true that what I think I deserve or what I think I want is something that's valuable in this world. It's either respect, for me, that's the deal. It's some respect or reward for my own effort, and or some appreciation. And those are the passions that wage war within my soul in the midst of conflict. So the way to get out of that, a way to begin to handle conflict right, is to recognize that. What are the passions that are driving me? What is it that I feel like I'm not getting? You know, if I think I'm being disrespected, well, then I remember that, you know, God loves me and values me, that my value comes from him. It doesn't come from this person or whatever my objective is. If I simply want to win, well, I need to stop and remember that the least shall be the greatest. And if I'm afraid, if I'm just scared, which often is the case, I need to remember that God is for me. And who can be against me? Now, again, those are knowing and doing are different. Those are all lovely thoughts. But I have this problem in every conflict I've ever been in. I'm there. And that's the problem. It's hard to remember to do this. How do we get to the point where we can do this? Well, if you've noticed, in the middle of a conflict, choosing this is really hard. Probably one of the hardest times to make that choice, right? And I assure you, you will not make that choice unless you've made this your lifestyle, unless making that choice is what has become your lifestyle. And I can also tell you that it won't be your lifestyle unless you have broken your relationship with the things of the world. Because like any bad relationship, if you haven't made a clean break and been determined, when the pressure is on, that's where you run for safety. And conflict brings the pressure in spades, makes it really hard. Now, breaking up is hard to do, as Neil Sedaka said. And if you're under 60, just insert your favorite Taylor Swift song. Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to do. I'm not sure if you've ever helped somebody try to get out of a bad relationship, one that's really destructive for them. I mean, it is hard. It's gut-wrenching. It takes courage, and it takes determination. And like exiting any bad relationship, walking away from our relationship, our love affair with the things of this world, is going to take a lot of effort. It's going to take a lot of courage, and it will not happen until you make the decision, the clear-minded, determined decision that you don't want it anymore. And no one can decide that for you. When somebody else tries to decide that for you, that's called legalism. And you feel it, and you resent it. You must make the decision. Look, I'm done here. I understand this is destructive for me, and I am out. Because they always want you back. And they always come up with some reason why it'll be different, and you can come back, and it'll be fine, it'll be okay. And we have to be determined and go, no, I know it will not be. You must not accept any advances to have the things be better. You have to refuse any gift. You may have to give back the ones you've had, the ones you've already accepted. And above all, you got to stop hanging around with them. And if that doesn't happen, you're trapped. And so with the world, after we firmly decide, you know what, I'm done, I want to learn to live differently, then we have to replace that with building a friendship with God. And this also takes courage, and it takes effort. Like any friendship, your friendship with God strengthens as you do things together over time. This means you need to be involved with the things that God is involved with. He said this, so if you've been raised with Christ, which means you have a relationship with him, you've been saved, and he's raised you, he says, seek the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And he's just giving you the recipe to break up. Right? Stop hanging around. Don't think about those things. Set your mind on the things of Christ. You must go to where he is. You must spend enough time with him that you realize that your life, the things that really satisfy us. I think that's what he says, your life is hidden with God. What, you know, we're all trying to get life. As I've said, you know, that's why beer commercials have, you know, beautiful people in bikinis playing volleyball. Because you think, oh, there's life. That's what I want. It has nothing to do with beer. And we're all looking for life. And what we have to make the decision is life is found in the things of Christ. You have to believe that God is the true source of the things that will really satisfy you. So you got to replace the things you do, with the old things you did, with new things. You must stop spending your time, your effort, and your money to be satisfied by the things of this earth. You must put your time, your effort, and your money into the things of God. To be clear, your schedule of activities and daily routine has to change. You must become convinced that your good is God's concern, that he really does care about you, and he is able to take care of you. He can meet your needs. And there's no way for this to happen other than spending time in his word and in prayer. And in this, you must go beyond just knowing what the word says. That's the door sill of entering into a relationship with God, knowing what it says. You have to spend enough time with God in his word that you go beyond that and become convinced that you are able to hear his voice, that you can trust his promises, that you can respond to him and his direction through his word in your life, that he can become your ever-present help in time of need. So, along with reading, you must act on the truth that you read there. It's going to be very different than the things the world tells us, and we have to be able to learn to act on those things. You must take risks in your life that are based on the truth that God tells you. Little ones at first, till you see that God is faithful, and then you have to get bigger and bigger and bigger. That's how you develop a relationship with God. You must sacrifice the things of the world. You must miss out on some of them to make time to encounter the things of Christ. That's the only way to develop a friendship, a real friendship with the living God. Okay, so let's say you do that and God becomes your friend. That you really think, yeah, I know God. God is a part of my life. He works in my life. He speaks to me. He's my friend. Well, when you're in conflict, who do you want to have on your side? You want to have a friend. And it becomes natural to invite God into your conflicts. You will remember to become a peacemaker. You will remember, oh yeah, I want God in this thing. Now, there's a thing about God that you'll learn if he becomes your friend. When he gets involved in a situation, there's one role he always wants to play. He's kind of, you know, he's pretty insistent on this. He wants to be the Lord. He wants to be the Lord over that situation. And you have to invite him into the conflict in that way. And when that happens, your role in the conflict changes, right? It's no longer are you there trying to get your way, or your role is to let Jesus be the Lord. That's where your effort needs to go. You must honor him as the Lord. Now, to honor him, you have to do, I got three things. You always have to have three things in every pastor's message, okay? So here they are. You got to trust him. Now, trust is this, I'm trying to think of a better word than entrust because it has the word trust, but it's this entrusting of ourselves into the care of something. When you trust them, you're like, okay, I believe you're going to take care of me. You have to trust that he's your father. And that as your father, he cares about you and is going to take care of you. And this allows us to enter the conflict as God's children, as God's chosen ones. And believing all the things that God has told us. So God has justified us. God has made our sin right. God's taken care of all that stuff. And as we enter into conflict, understanding that we don't need to justify ourselves in this conflict. God hasn't justified me. I just trust him. And we can handle a conflict without condemnation. None for ourselves. Romans 8:1, we just went through that. There is therefore now how much condemnation? No condemnation. For you and the other person. You don't need it. So remembering that we are flawed, of course, helps us to accept others' flaws. And if God's our Father and is there and is going to take care of us, we don't need to be afraid. Even if it looks like somebody's really out to get us. Because there are people in the world who really are out to get you. Peter says this, who then will harm you if you are devoted to do what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness, you are blessed. Don't fear them or be intimidated, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and reverence, keeping a clear conscience so that when you are accused, those who disparage your good conduct in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So even if somebody's really out to get you, God can watch out for you. And of course, trusting him is not always easy. Trusting him in a situation like that is really challenging. But if we can, it changes everything. So we have to trust him. And as I said, he always wants to come in as Lord. We have to obey him. And obedience is just the action that flows from trusting God. If we believe he's there and we believe he cares for us and he knows what is good, well, then walking in that is good. Now, it's hard to remain convinced of that. Jesus said this. He goes, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" Well, that's the thing about obedience. It really means, at times, doing what you don't want. It means doing what you're not sure maybe is the best. But if it's clear it's what God wants, it's walking forward in that. And having this direction from God, if you can understand God's will in a situation, having that direction, it allows us to walk forward being clear-minded. Sometimes in conflict, man, it's just so hard to figure out. You know, who's right, who's wrong, what should I do, what should I not do? And if you've got some direction from God, things clear up and you just got to walk in it. So it may mean, at the beginning, if you think about this all the time, not just in conflict, it may mean as you're thinking, I need to have conflict, you may go, oh yeah, you know, I don't think I do. I think God's will is actually clear here and I just need to go along if that's... Or it may mean that when you're a fighter and you don't want to have conflict, it may mean God wants you to. It may mean you need to enter in and work this thing out because that would honor God. But at least you're clear. At least you've got some direction and you're not just, you know, our emotions can be such cruel masters. They can throw us one way, throw us the other way, and we, you know. And it, with God's will and a desire to obey him, we can walk forward in conflict. And if we really trust God, this is probably, you know, the sincerest form of flattery is imitation. If we really trust God, then we will want to be like him. This verse God has used in my life recently in a big way. I've had some very, very intense conflict in my life for the last month or more. And boy, I just want to respond. In ways that are not good. And I've done some of that. And one day after that, when I got home, the Lord hit me with this verse. He said, you don't need to do that. He said, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also are to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were called in one body, rule in your hearts, and be thankful. And, you know, God just hit me and goes, this person I was having conflict with probably does not know the Lord. And God just said, what are you doing? You're so blessed. Do you not understand what I've done for you? You're chosen. You're holy. I dearly love you. You do not need to respond the way you've been responding. You can put on a heart of compassion. I can help you do that. You can be kind. You can be humble. You can be gentle. You can be all these things because I can help you be them. And the conflict hasn't stopped, and it won't for a while. And yet, this has been my anchor. It's like, okay, that's true, God. I can do these things. The peace of Christ can rule in my heart. I don't need to be buffeted by this. God is big enough. And it's just changed everything. And I think these three things actually can change a lot. We can get to the place where we are a peacemaker, that we can be blessed by God because we're willing to seek peace in the midst of conflict. But the key to all this is having God become your friend. And the key to that is breaking up with the world. So how are you doing with that? Are you spending time with God in His Word? And I don't mean just, oh yeah, once in a while, or have you changed your schedule enough to have a regular time where you say, look, I'm not going to do this, that, or the other thing because I am going to sit down and I'm going to spend time with God every day. And maybe not every day, but what the statistics show, if you're not doing that 4 days a week, your life's never going to change. You got to do 4 more days a week of that to have your view of life and God get able to work in your life. You've got to do that at least 4 times a week. Nobody, I don't do everything every day. How are you doing with that? Is that your habit? Are you building that in your life? Are you saying no to the world and falling in love with the things of God? Or are you still just catching time when you can? What must you say no to make that happen? Something's got to go. Look, in America, we're scheduled up. If you haven't noticed, we all got phones to tell us where we're supposed to be at what time, because there's so much going on in our lives. Well, you're just going to have to go, yeah, I'm not going to do some of that stuff. I'm going to actually get to know God. And is that time bearing fruit? Is it changing the way you look at the world and understand it? Is it causing you to act differently? Is your heart increasingly being drawn toward God? Is it filling your soul? Are you satisfied? Do you just get up thinking, I mean, okay, so my saying is I wake up insane every morning. I wake up insane thinking the world's about me. So I go sit at my desk and reorient myself to reality that God is there, He's real, and He loves me. And it fills my soul. It feeds me. And we've got to all get to that point where that's true for all of us. Are you praying? Boy, that's challenging, isn't it? Find time to pray. That's hard. If you got a place, you know, when I got to really pray, I got to go down to the river in Orinoco. I don't know why, but that's where I got to go. So I got to go there. I got to go. You got to find whatever works for you. Find a place and do that. And are you serving God's interests? Are you stepping out in faith? Where are you risking the truth of, based on the truth of God, where are you risking something? It can just be in a conflict where you go, okay, I'm not going to defend myself. That's risky. But you can start lots of places, but we have to be risking things to find out that God really is there and He really will catch us and we can trust Him. Are you sacrificing the things of this world to gain the things above? Are you seeking to build up His people? That's what God loves. He loves you guys. He loves you. And so we got to be involved helping one another and seeking His interests. So those are, I think, the keys to becoming a peacemaker and having unlocking this power of resolving conflict well in our lives. So I'd encourage you to ask yourself these questions. Find a way to up your game with making God your friend. Let's pray. Lord, just thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You that no one will ever be disappointed. No one who looks to You, it says, will ever be disappointed. And Lord, I confess that's been true of me in my life. I can't think of one time where I thought, well, I guess I'll do what God wants. And I later thought, that was a bad choice. I've never thought that, Lord. You're good. You are, you're just beyond us, Lord. Your ability to bless, life does flow from You, Lord. I pray You'd help us to develop a taste for that. That we'd more and more just be able to look people in the eye and go, yeah, God's my friend. I know God. So many people, Lord, are looking for hope and purpose and meaning in life, and we have it in You. So help us, Lord Jesus. And we ask You that in Jesus' name. Okay, so pizza with the pastors will be in the room back there in, 10 minutes or so? Yeah, 10, 15 minutes. So say hi to one another, grab a snack, and we'll see you next week.